Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Cash That. This is your host, Joe Dallara. I am joining you late. We are pretty much into Wednesday morning right now, depending on where you are situated in the world. But once again, this episode is brought to you by our good friends at Props.Cash. Props.Cash is the best in the business. They actually have some pretty new tools as well. You know, you always go to NBA.com and you're like looking up potential assists and you're like, what do they do here? What was the matchup? How did they play against the team? Guess what? Props.cash has it now. So you can actually just go right on props.cash and you can check out potential assists. One of my favorite stats. It really is like a nice underlying data point to just see, like, were we a little bit unlucky? How did this go? What were the situations? What was the scenario? And it, you can actually get a little bit more granular with it at props.cash than you would have been able to at NBA.com, especially a lot easier anyway. So you can get all of this for the nice price of $69 for the rest of the NBA season. And you'll also get some college basketball props as well through the end of that season. Use promo code CashThatNBA and you will also be entered to win a free annual pass that has about a $200 value, $199, but let's round up, $200 value, right? And that is what you would be entered for. So I love props.cash. I use it every day, and it's something that I use when I'm capping for the show for you when I give out these picks. So we're recording a little bit late. Producer Corey's busy. He is just absolutely knocking skulls right now. So he's doing the Lord's work out there. Obviously, Major League Baseball starting soon. If you're into that as well, props.cash has that stuff too. But look, I'm rooting for the Yankees. Obviously, I'm going to be having a good time. I like looking. I like getting some baseball. Additionally, it's like an early recommendation. It's not an ad. If they want to pay me, that would be sick. But T-Mobile still has, I think, like the best deal in the business. You can get free MLB TV. You just have to like activate it. So highly recommend it. If you have somebody that you know that maybe has T-Mobile, doesn't really use it, maybe you can use their pass or something like that. It's really nice for being able to watch out of market games. Or if you're a fan of an out of market team, it really does make your life a little bit easier, and it's free. It's for the whole season. It's pretty awesome. So with that though, let's get into this NBA slate. We are almost done with the regular season. Standings are honestly like a little bit crazy right now, but it's been a great time. It's been a great ride. And we've been trying to find as many angles as possible. Betting in March is just fucking brutal. Like, I can't wait for March to be over. It's been like a very like hilarious month for me. It's just been like up, down, up, down, up, down. Basically like a net zero. But you know, sometimes that happens. We go through, you know, some of our growing pains or some of our situations. So it's fine. And I think at the end of the day, that's part of why we, you know, I continue to preach bankroll management. It's like, even if you're sweating like an individual play, you're not really sweating it from like a, oh my God, I'm going to lose my whole bankroll. You're sweating because it's like, you care. Like, you obviously want to win this play that you took. So it's still a good time. It's still going to be a good opportunity there. So I want to start off with my favorite play of the slate, and that's Tyrese Haliburton over 10.5 assists against the Chicago Bulls. If you guys remember, because I know you guys are all long-term listeners, obviously we're getting a couple new ones, but on 313, so a couple weeks ago, we gave out this play at the rip. I was like, run it back. I was like, I don't understand this line. I think this is a crazy line against the Chicago Bulls. They actually opened that game at 11.5 assists. It got bet down to 10.5. We hit it again. Ladder this shit. Like, it's such a good spot against Chicago because Chicago allows so many catch and shoot threes. And when we look at Halliburton's like direct history, he's such a good navigator, right? So Chicago has excellent point of attack defense, between like Caruso, Dosunmu, DeMar DeRozan's even pretty good still. So Kobe White, you're looking at those guys and they have excellent point of attack defense. What Halliburton's able to do, he's still like shifty. He's still like a little bit of a tougher cover, but he's a tougher cover, not so much to get his own shot. He's been a tougher cover in terms of like getting to his spot to create an opening for somebody else or to find the open man. So in three games against Chicago this season, 13, 20, and 14 assists on 23, 27, and 27 potentials. The dude, like, that is one of my favorite like underlying stats. Like I mentioned before in the, you know, in our ad read, it's super, super helpful to have that. just looking at like average conversion rate, we should be looking at about 50%. Halliburton's about a 50%, 55, 60% guy. Just looking at that, looking at the numbers that he's been able to put up, it's about 26 potentials per game. You should be looking at about 13. So you can get 13 at Bet365, at like plus 175. I really, really like this play. I think it's an awesome opportunity, especially because when you think about what Chicago can do or what they allow defensively, they allow the catch and shoot three. Obviously, without Mathurin, it impacts a little bit of what Indiana is able to do from like a catch and shoot perspective between like no Mathurin, nobody healed anymore. But at the end of the day, they still have plenty of knockdown shooters. They still have plenty of opportunities here. And it's a good spot for Miles Turner too. So his points line is set at 15.5. He's been excellent in these matchups against Vooch, against Chicago generally. So that's another way you could kind of tackle this. If you're like, I don't know if I want to play the assists, it should definitely benefit Miles Turner if you wanted to, you know, kind of parlay these together. I really don't hate it whatsoever. It's also a critically important game for the standings, right? So right now we're closing in on the end of the season. For the most part, a lot of these seeding spots, a lot of these situations in the standings, they're starting to solidify. We're starting to have a better idea of where teams are going to be finishing. So when we look at, let's say, Indiana's played they have 41 wins, 32 losses. So they've played 73 games. They have 9 games left of the regular season. They're at the 32 losses. It's unlikely that they're going to be able to close ground and get up to the fault with the 4 or the 5 or realistically even the 3, just the way that these are kind of the way that the losses are in the Eastern Conference. But it's critically important for them to stay out of the 6, right? Or out of the 7 and the 8, right? So you don't want to be going into a scenario where you're trying to play a 1-game playoff against, you know, Jimmy Butler, or you're going against if Joel Embiid comes back. Those are just bad scenarios. It's not what you want to have. If you're Indiana, by staying in the 6 seed, right now you'd be playing a first-round matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you're looking at what you're at, like the top of the Eastern Conference, that's probably a matchup that you're like, all right, I think we could handle that. Cleveland's been excellent, obviously, but they just always seem to have some troubles when they actually have a full roster. It's such an odd scenario for them. But they're 4-6 over their last 10 games, so they have struggled a bit, and it's given the Knicks the opportunity to kind of start to catch them. Same with the Orlando Magic. So it's critically important for Indiana. I think that they will be really trying. They're obviously trying in these games. But it's a little bit less important for Chicago. Chicago obviously wants home court in that second play-in kind of game. But at the end of the day, they're pretty locked into the 9-10 here. And that really is kind of where they're going to settle in. So it's an interesting game. I think it's definitely a game to tune into, to keep an eye on. But it is going to be a game where I definitely want to be taking a Tyrese Halliburton prop, especially that assists over the 10.5. This is a packed slate. I'm going to kind of try to talk about some of these games like as we can, obviously. The Raptors and the Knicks play. This is a spot where maybe you want to take some Miles McBride, potentially like a threes prop. McBride has been excellent. He's playing a million minutes, which is like hilarious, honestly, for so many reasons. He's really replaced Emmanuel Quickley very effectively for New York. And it's been awesome to kind of watch his rise as a shooter, as a defender, especially, you know, obviously for me as a Knicks fan. So I definitely have been looking at that as well. But when we look at what New York has been able to do, it's really been incredible the level of defensive performance they've had without OG Anunoby. I think in part it's because of this like officiating change with the free throw rates and how teams are basically they're not calling some of these fouls. So since they're not calling some of these fouls, you're really getting into this scenario where New York, who is already a physical team, is able to be even more physical. And it's really created an advantage for them. So even without OG, you have these guys like Josh Hart, McBride, Hartenstein, Achiuwa. You have these dudes that really kind of get under your skin. They're really getting into you. Dante DiVincenzo as well. And it's disruptive. And when you play some of these teams that are struggling, especially, you can really get in their shirt and create a lot of distress for them. So over the course of the entire season, New York, because at this point, at this juncture, Toronto is a bottom 10 team. They're brutal to watch. They don't have a lot of talent on the court. They should not be considered a good team. The spread is at -12.5, -13. New York has dominated in these games against bottom barrel competition. They're 23-1 straight up. They have a +16.4 point differential. They have the fourth best offense and the third best defense with a +5.8 spread differential against bottom 10 teams in the NBA this season, which the Toronto Raptors need to be considered at this juncture. Laying 12.5 seems steep. I still think that honestly, that is still like the sharper side of this wager. I honestly, like, I don't even know if I like the first half just because New York kind of like fucks around sometimes, but then at the end, by the end of the game, they're really just putting down the barn burners there. And they're like, all right, Brunson, like go out there. Like you're playing the whole second half. We are going to win this game. We're going to win it by margin. So I do like New York here. I think they should cover the number, and it sounds funny to say that, but they're head and shoulders better than this Toronto Raptors team at this juncture. And I wouldn't be upset about trying to lay that line of 12.5 here. Looking at the next game and one of my next bets on the slate, I am looking at the Orlando Magic versus the Golden State Warriors. I'm grabbing the Magic -6. I would take this -6.5. I take this -7. I am very comfortable in this spot. Part of it is that the Warriors are in a second game of a back-to-back. So you would think that Golden State should play in this game. But when we like, and this is a way that you can kind of use the standings to your advantage, right? Golden State is one game ahead of the Rockets in the loss column for the 10 seed. That's actually how far down they are right now. When we consider that, we also need to consider some of the long-term implications of what the Warriors kind of have to do here. So the Warriors' schedule coming up is they have the Orlando Magic tonight. They have the Hornets, they have the Spurs, they have the Mavericks, the Rockets, the Mavericks, the Jazz, the Lakers, the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. The schedule is not super difficult moving forward. However, this game is actually probably one of their more difficult ones. Given the schedule spot, given the fact that they came back in the second half, beat Miami, this might be one of the last opportunities that they have to say, like, you know what? This is a pretty tough game. Let's not play it. Let's rest our guys, get loaded up for these games on Friday and Sunday against teams that they absolutely should beat in the Hornets and the Spurs. Be healthy for those matchups, kind of take advantage of that. Also, from a schedule perspective, they played a lot of games recently. So they played on was Tuesday, they played on Sunday, they played on Friday, they played on Wednesday. So over the course of this week, since last Wednesday, they played, this will be their fifth game in 7 days, 8 days, however you kind of want to count it. They've played a lot of games, and they've also been on the road now. This will be their third game of this road trip, and they have two more to go. So this might be an opportunity to kind of give them like a little bit of rest in this matchup against Orlando. The other thing about this particular matchup is that I think this is going to be a very tough matchup for Curry. I know that Curry has thrived in this specific matchup against the Orlando Magic, but I do think that what Orlando can do at defending the three-point line is critical. They are ninth best in three-point rate allowed and ninth best in three-point accuracy. So obviously, the Warriors, they rely on a lot of threes. You're getting a lot of good defense between guys like Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero. They're really able to make life difficult for their opponents. When we look at the Orlando Magic, since the All-Star break, they've been awesome. 12-4. They're one of the best teams in terms of the advanced metrics, in terms of net rating. And they have been really dominant on the defensive side of the ball. And they have the number one defense in the NBA since the All-Star break at 106.4. So when we look at what Orlando can do, It's one of those. It's one of those situations where Orlando's not necessarily getting all of the respect, I think, at this juncture that they should be getting. They've been one of the better teams against the spread over the course of the entire season. And when we look at what Golden State has done, Golden State has been questionable, just generally, like overall, right? So Orlando has the number one against the spread record in the NBA. 47-24 against the spread. When we look at the Golden State Warriors, the Warriors have actually been a little bit better than average. They're 38-32-1 over the course of the season, which is one of the better against the spread numbers. However, the Warriors have struggled in to a degree is they've struggled as a they've struggled in these spots where they're at a little bit of a rest disadvantage. When Golden State is at a rest disadvantage, although they, you know, they've kind of been able to cover some of these games, they are, you know, they're running out guys on shorter rest. The biggest issue for them has been with no rest. It's a little bit closer to normal. They're 8-5-1 against the spread. So all still good numbers. But when we look at this particular matchup against the Orlando Magic, you're kind of be able to neutralize some of these against the spread trends. Golden State is always a team that you're going to be paying like a little bit of a premium for just based on the name recognition. And when we see that here, it's definitely a spot that we can kind of keep a look at. Now, looking at this particular game, though, I still am comfortable laying the points with the Orlando Magic. I know that both of these teams have actually been decent against the spread, but when we consider the fact that Golden State's at the rest disadvantage and the Orlando Magic have the rest advantage here, they're at home, it's a back-to-back with a little bit of travel for Golden State, and they've kind of hit one of the tougher parts of their schedule, especially because they're kind of are in that crunch time scenario right now. So I like the Orlando Magic. I think the six is short. I wouldn't be surprised to see this close around 8. Orlando's just been a better team, but I think the opening number is not indicative of just how much better they've been so far this season. Looking at another game on this slate, we are looking at the Los Angeles Clippers against the Philadelphia 76ers. A couple days ago, thought we were going to get our Harden revenge game, but I think today is the day. So last time we were out, I bet on his points. She's missed. He just only had 12 points. He couldn't make a three at all. He had 26 PA because he had 12 points, 14 dimes. His points and assist line for this game is set at 23.5. This game is in Philly. He's been over in 10 of 16 games since the All-Star break, averaging about 25 points plus assists. It's definitely a look. It has to be a look here. It's a great revenge spot. It's in Philadelphia. The spread is a little bit shorter, obviously, because it's in Philly. You're getting, you know, you should see the role players perform a little bit better for Philadelphia, even though Philly, you know, kind of took care of business the other day. So this is a great revenge spot. I think that Harden is going to really want to show out in Philly. The 23.5 is just a little bit low. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to the scoring performance that he had the other day. So look, at the end of the day, Philly does not have a perfect matchup for him. Maxey is not really the best cover for him. They don't have the same point of attack defense. If you had like a guy like the Anthony Melton out there who's kind of dealing with some injuries right now. So I do like him to go over 23.5 points plus assists in this matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers, who have been playing at a little bit of a different tempo, a little bit of a different style without Joel Embiid, and with the addition of Kyle Lowry. That's probably like your best defensive option maybe right now, which is not really saying too much about the scenario. Another spot to look at in this slate is we're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers against the Memphis Grizzlies. This spread is a little bit all over the place. There's a 5.5 out there for the Lakers, -5.5. There's also some -4s in the market, which seems to be the way that this is trending. Given the fact that they just played a double overtime game against the Milwaukee Bucks, crazy win. I'm curious to see what exactly they do. This is a game that they probably should want to have. The Lakers are in a scenario where They are two losses back of the Phoenix Suns and of the Sacramento Kings for the 7 and 8 seeds. If LA can get out of the 9-10, that would be incredible for them. It would be great news for them. And I think that there's a little bit of an opportunity here, given the fact that Denver's playing Phoenix tomorrow night or tonight as well. And if the Lakers are able to, you know, secure this victory over a Memphis Grizzlies team that they really should beat, I think it really would set them up to be in a better scenario. You're maybe one game back in the loss column with about 8 games to go. I think that this could be a great opportunity for them, especially when you look at what their schedule is. They have a relatively tough schedule. Right now, it's a softer spot. They have the Grizzlies, the Pacers, the Nets, the Raptors, the Wizards. But then they have matchups against the Cavs, the Wolves, the Warriors, and then one more against the Grizzlies and one against the Pelicans to end the season. So the Lakers really got to rack up their wins right now with the idea that some of those games a little bit later in the season, or, you know, in the next week or two, are going to be a little bit more difficult for them to kind of gain some ground on those Western Conference play-in teams and try to get themselves out of or into a better spot in the play-in tournament. You always want to have two cracks at the apple instead of the one where you have to win 2 games to get in. So it's definitely a spot where, the line is -4. I obviously do have some concerns about the fact that it was a double overtime game. You saw the Lakers stars really kind of playing a ton of minutes. But at the end of the day, LeBron James is expected to play on Wednesday against Memphis. So the question is really going to be, is Anthony Davis going to play in this matchup? And I think that's always the question that you need to kind of be asking yourself in these back-to-backs, but they have been playing in these back-to-backs. So I know it's a double overtime game. I think that at this juncture, this game is so critically important to where the Lakers kind of are. You kind of want to, I would expect him to play, but you definitely do want to have a little bit more of an idea. So I think I'd be comfortable waiting just to see whether or not he ends up playing in this game. But AD has been awesome against Jaren Jackson Jr. Over the past couple of games, he scored 31, 19. He had a 30 and 22 rebound game, a 28 and 19 game as well. So these are some big spikes from AD against Jaren Jackson Jr. This could be a really good opportunity for the Lakers to win a game, gain some ground, and really kind of try to make a move up in the standings. It looks like Desmond Bane will play in this game. He's not on the injury report right now, and that obviously will give a little bit of a boost to the Memphis Grizzlies offense as a whole overall too. Another game to consider is the one that I just mentioned. The Suns versus the Nuggets is an interesting game. So the Nuggets opened at -5. This has moved to -7, -7.5 in the market. Part of that has to do with the fact that the Phoenix Suns have listed a number of players on the injury report. Yusuf Nurkic, due to an ankle injury, is questionable for this game. He didn't practice. Bradley Beal, his finger, he's also listed as questionable. He didn't practice. So when we consider those two players and the fact that they might not play, that's definitely a reason to kind of move the spread here. The Nuggets have also listed a number of their players on the injury report. Jamal Murray, ankle, questionable. Michael Porter Jr., probable. Aaron Gordon, questionable with a foot, like the plantar fascia strain in his right foot. And Jokic is also probable due to lower back pain, left hip inflammation. So those seem like, we're just going to throw out an injury report. Maybe we'll see what you do. And then maybe that'll like kind of impact what we do. Denver, obviously, it seems like they're gunning for the one seed. They are in first place right now in the Western Conference. They are in a virtual tie with Oklahoma City. They have one more win, but they're tied in the loss column. So this is still a critically important game for them if they want to be able to maintain home court advantage throughout the course of the entire playoffs. So from a game plan perspective, there are a lot of questions revolving what the Suns are going to do. One angle that I was kind of looking at, and this is a terrifying look, but if Yusuf Nurkic does play, Jokic has actually struggled a little bit against him. In his last six games against Nurk, he's only averaged 35.5 points plus rebounds. He struggled especially on the rebounding side of the ball. He just had 16 a couple weeks ago in this matchup against Nurk, but he's 1-for-6 on this 12.5 rebounds line in these head-to-head matchups over the past couple of seasons. Nurk has kind of bothered him from a rebounding perspective, and I think a lot of that has to do with just the raw size that he has, and he makes life a little bit more difficult for Jokic just because he's a harder defender to kind of move around, to navigate around, and it's definitely a spot that I would kind of look for a Jokic under if Nurkic does play. So that's definitely a look for that game. Finally, I want to touch on the Pistons versus the Timberwolves. The spread is pretty big. It's -14.5 for Minnesota. But one of the spots that I was looking at here is Rudy Gobert over 12.5 rebounds. I mean, you've heard me say this a million times, but I like it better in this particular instance over the 14.5 RA. I had found that we were getting, I thought, pretty good line value on the RA because they were really only bumping it one, even though he's been hitting the one as a floor without Cat very, very consistently. Earlier in the season, back in January, Gobert had a 19.16 rebound game in a heads up contest against Jalen Duren. He's over this 12.5 rebounds line in 5 of 7 games without Cat. And the thing about Detroit is, they kind of stay in the paint. They don't have a particularly good offense, and it should create a bunch of rebounding opportunities for Gobert. So I do like Rudy Gobert to go over the 12.5 rebounds in this spot. That's kind of where I'm at for this slate at this point in time. One other play that I think popped a little bit is Grady Dick over 1.5 threes against the Knicks. Grady Dick's role has increased recently, so that's definitely been important. But New York does tend to allow some three-point shooters, especially the spot-up guys, to get those good looks. It's a little bit too much juice, I think, for me at this juncture, but maybe if it comes down a little bit, that'll be a spot for me to grab at the 1.5 threes. Maybe if you'd prefer to just play like a 3+, I don't hate that either, but it's definitely, those are definitely going to be some of the spots that I'm kind of looking for on this Wednesday slate. Just a word of advice, though, with betting some of these games at this point. It's really hard to navigate like what motivation is, what the spreads are going to be, if players are going to be sitting, if teams are resting, if teams are trying to hit the lottery. I like to try to get my plays out early for getting the best value on the line, getting that CLV that, there's always like conversations about CLV. Does it matter? Does it not matter? I think it matters. I don't think that there's nothing you can do with it, obviously. I think a lot of it can be self-generated, right? Like if I put out a play on Twitter or X and a bunch of people take it, of course the line is going to move. Like it's algorithmic. It's not necessarily that, I bet it and then the line moved instantly. Like sometimes that happens. Other times it's not. Sometimes it's a little bit stickier. It depends on the book. So I don't think that just like touting CLV like totally matters for some of this stuff. I do think that it can be indicative of, being on the right side of things or being on the side that's kind of generating more money or more action. But I don't think that it always matters. I do like to try to give the plays out at the best number, at the best time that I can, where you guys can follow it. So like I said, I try not to give out plays before like 8 a.m. or if it is going to come out the night before, I try to release it where it's like before midnight. The problems that I have with that is that these lines that come out, especially the prop lines, they're really soft. And like, it's awesome. I'll bet something. And I do this somewhat regularly. I'll bet something. And like, let's say like Halliburton, for example, like Halliburton opened at -115 on bet365, for his 10.5 assists. So like, let's say I bet it there. It moves. by the time I get it out, it's at like 11 and a half, or it's at like heavy juice or something like that. Like, I get it. I think that, you know, getting that opportunity, or, you know, getting that CLV is important. I also think that from like a content perspective, from a follower's perspective, this is me like peeling back the curtain a little bit, from like a content perspective, from like a who can actually get in on that perspective. A lot of times, like, giving it out then, like, yeah, like, sure, you know, there's some people that are awake. I just think the line is, not only it's soft, so like, yeah, like, sure, it's good for betting, but like, this doesn't mean that can mean like your limits are lower. It can mean that, you know, you're triggering your account to like look like it's sharp action. There's so many different reasons why I try to not release these overnight lines. Additionally, because, you know, if I put out a line at like 3 a.m. and it moves, then it's like the whole cap really kind of changed. I've said this on other episodes, I've talked about this before. If I bet something at -110 and you bet it at -150, it's not the same bet. And the juice matters often. It's extremely, extremely important. And it's just something that you kind of have to keep an eye on, and something you have to be cognizant of, because like, yeah, we both might be able to tout and like say like, yeah, like I won this bet. But at the end of the day, I have to win it way less often than you do if you don't get it at the same line that I did, in order to be profitable. So I think it's nice to be able to tout, and talk about some of the, like, the great CLV that we get, or like getting a play in early. But at the same time, a lot of times these numbers don't move until, you know, we put it out there, and then multiple people are betting on it. So what I'm trying to get at, what I'm really trying to get at is that I'm trying to release plays for you guys at the best times for when you can tail them, whether that's through the Action app where you get push notifications, or through Twitter where you get push notifications. You know, I don't see the value in giving out plays that nobody else can take. So like, even this, like yesterday, for example, I gave out Sabonis. I logged Sabonis in the Action app at 7.5. I saw like a rogue -145 for 7.5 assists at FanDuel. And I was like, that number's bad. Like, I'm just going to bet it. I don't think it's going to last. And I'm still comfortable at the 8.5. So by the time I bet it, within like 2 minutes, this thing was at 8.5 -110. So for me, like, betting it there, logging in the app, sometimes like I'll put something in the app and then I'll tweet it out differently, or I'll tweet out like a little bit more of a lengthy explanation. So I do that sometimes where I'm like, this line's going to move. I know it's going to move. I know it's not going to last. Let's try to do it that way. But other times it'll at least try to keep it to a point where it's tailable. It's not at 3 a.m. It's not at 4 a.m. It's coming in at, you know, like, even if it's like 7:30 or 8 a.m. I'm an East Coast guy. I wake up kind of early. I got to get the work done. So that's, you know, that's kind of what works on my end. And I think that there's, not only are there more markets, there's more books that have the lines up at that hour, as opposed to, you know, if I bet something at 3 or 4 a.m, number one, I'm asleep, but number two, there's just fewer options. So sometimes people just can't get down, or they don't have the book that I'm talking about. And that's some of the analysis that kind of goes on in my head when I'm trying to pick out plays for content for you guys, and for everybody to tail, and for me to take as well. Because I think, like, it's not really as fun if, you know, like, if I take something personally and nobody else kind of got to get in on it. I think it's more fun to try to celebrate and try to win some bets together. I just think it's a little bit more of a collaborative and communicative and community driven event. And it makes it a little bit more fun for me. Hope it makes it a little bit more fun for you. With that though, enough CLV talk. Let's just turn quickly to Pods and Recs. Obviously, we don't have Producer Corey here. Producer Corey, I don't even know what Producer Corey would recommend at this point. I think he might recommend, I don't know. I talked to him today too. Producer Corey is going to recommend allergy medicine. I already know, because it is allergy season. He's going to tell you, take your Allegra, take your Claritin, do whatever you got to do. For me, my recommendation right now is obviously the weather's, you know, it's getting nice. I'm recommending just like turning the heat off. You don't even have to turn, like my house, maybe it's because of the windows. Temperature can kind of fluctuate a pretty good amount during the day. I like it when it's like cold as fuck, like at night. I love to sleep in like really cold. Like I want it to be in the 60s. Like if it's low 60s, that's awesome. I like to just turn the heat off. And number one, you're just not paying a heating bill. It's not getting cold enough to freeze or anything like that. But during the day, it seems to keep the temperature down a little bit. Or if it does rise, then, you know, it's just going to go away by like the end of the day. And I didn't need to have heat on overnight to kind of keep it at like a 67, 68, something like that. I don't need it. Like if it goes to 62, that's fine. I'm more than comfortable with that. I love it when it's cold. I love waking up when it's cold. It's one of my favorite things ever. So my recommendation is just turn off the heat. As long as your pipes won't freeze, I think it does wonders for you. I think it's good for your body. I think it's good. Like I think it's best for sleeping. I think they do some studies about how it's better to sleep when it's like in the cold, but I have no idea, but I feel like I've read a study about that before. The other recommendation that I'm going to make, at this juncture, I don't know if you guys have like a, I don't know if you've got like a Korean restaurant or anything by you. So I'm Korean, half Korean, surprise, surprise. One of the things that my mom makes that's incredible, because my mom, born and raised in Korea, this is, we're just having quite the history lesson here. So one of the things that my mom makes, it's like one of my favorite things ever, is japchae. So you can get this. Japchae is essentially, it's a Korean dish. It's a noodle dish. It's sweet potato starch noodles. You stir fry them with, you can use vegetables, you can do meats. And the way that they're kind of cooked, it's a pretty vegetable heavy. So like you could do it with like a little bit, like it's like my mom does, it's like peppers, onions. Sometimes you could do bean sprouts, you could do mushrooms, different kinds of mushrooms. You could do like a bok choy even. You could do like a spinachy type of leaf. So there's just so many options to do. It's like a little bit on like this, it's like slightly sweet, but it's pretty salty. It's like, I got a good like amount of salt as well. Really just highly, highly recommend this. So I'm not saying that you need to go and make it yourself. We could try to talk about this. Somebody hit me up. I'll try to get you a recipe if you need to. But you can go to you can get it from like a Korean restaurant. Sometimes like if you have like an Asian fusion type of restaurant, you can get it from there. And another place is like if you have an H Mart or like a local Korean store, you can get it there as well. You can eat it like kind of, I don't want to say cold, but like room temp even, it comes out really good. You could heat it up, obviously. You could add some chicken, you could add some beef, pork, like whatever you want to add. Just a really, really nice meal. And one of the things I like about it is like it's sweet potato noodle, but it does keep you, it does feel a little bit lighter. So it's a filling dish, but it's still at the end of the day, it does feel a little bit lighter. You can function as a main, it can function as a side. It's really just an excellent, excellent dish. So highly recommend japchae. That's J-A-P-C-H-A-E. So guys, as you're continuing to explore, you know, the weather, as you're continuing to explore allergy season, as you're continuing to explore japchae and some of the Korean cuisine, just remember that you could be doing that. You could be enjoying that like bowl of japchae with your allergy medicine windows open, because, and you can take all that opportunity and you can be scrolling on props.cash. You got potential assist there. You got the charts. You got the green charts, the red charts. We all know it. And you can get that for the rest of the NBA season, along with the college basketball season, all those stats, the potential assists, and everything, including their projections, for the nice price of $69 for the rest of the season. Use code CashThatNBA to be entered into a drawing to win a free annual subscription to props.cash. So with all that, let's continue to cash that.